Welcome, brethren, guests, many guests. That one's the water. That one's the water. Somebody's got some pull behind the scenes, I can see that. You know, most of you know that my wife and I are both from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And actually, you might qualify too, you young folks. You know, if your mother and or your dad are graduating from high school at the same time you do, you might be a Youper. I am in the process right now, hopefully, of pictures being passed out. One should be starting back in that corner, and the other one should be starting in this corner. And I'm going to be talking about a young man today, and I want you to see this young man and know that he's real. And what he looked like when he was in early to mid elementary school, because this is the lad we're talking about. And I'd like to just have you look at the picture and pass it on, and someone in the middle is going to end up with both pictures. Please do, when you have, whoever that is, please do return the pictures to me. The title of what I have for you today is this. The title I have for you today is this. Having a good name. A good name. What does that mean? What does that mean to have a good name? And this message is addressed today. It's put together and focused basically on young people between kindergarten and high school, kindergarten and 12th grade. So this message is put together with you young people in mind. And I'd like to have you think of it that from that perspective. John 13, verse 15, you don't have to turn there. It's a relatively short scripture. Jot it in your notes if you wish. But John 13, verse 15 tells us that we should allow Jesus Christ to be an example for us. John 13, 15, we have Jesus Christ speaking, and he says this, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you." What did he do for us? The big deal, the biggest deal. He gave his life that we may have a relationship with the Father and an opportunity for salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, in that verse, God tells us to be good ambassadors for him. Good ambassadors for him. Having said that, we are all very much aware that we physical human beings can be very, very much influenced by each other. Not just by God, but even by each other. Have you ever asked yourself this question? What person has influenced me over my life the most in a very positive way? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I have. The main reason that I have asked that question is because of the tremendous example that one particular person set for me many, many, many years ago. His example has affected me very much, even to this very day, 54 years later. 54 years later. Turn to Proverbs 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. And this is the key scripture that's the basis for what I'm going to be talking to you today about. Proverbs 22, verse 1. God tells us this. Very short scripture, but it says a world of information. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Now, why does God tell us that a good name is so important? What exactly is a good name? What is that? To be chosen over great riches? I hope that when I finish this message today, that you will know exactly what it means to have a good name. Young people, as someone who is 72 years old, that's me, 72 years old, believe it or not, I was your age, and I actually remember it. Now, I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember being 3 or 4 years old, you know, 6, 7 years old. I can tell you, as someone my age, after living these years, I can tell you with absolute certainty that the answer to the question about the importance of a good name is one of the most important things that you will ever hear in your life, in your entire life. A good name speaks to what other people, including God, think about who you really are. It clearly speaks to what kind of person you are. It speaks to whether others think you are a person of good character or bad character. In the end, unless a person has a good name in God's eyes, they cannot be in the kingdom of God. You cannot be in the kingdom of God unless you have a good name with Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. A good name with other people and with God is not something that can be lent or transferred from one person to another. If you have a good name, you can't give it to your kid or to your friend. If you're someone and you know someone who has a good name, they can't give it to you. It's something that you have to earn on your own. Whether you have a good name or a bad name is really the reputation that you have with other people that you come in contact with over a long period of time. Based upon the kind of person that you are and how you treat other people and deal with them over a long period of time will determine whether people think you are a good person, a safe person, or a dangerous, unreliable person who drags sadness with them wherever they go. Young people, I'm sure that you have already found out that there are people that you enjoy being with, and there are people that you don't enjoy being with. There are people that you want in their life, in your life, and there are people that you don't want in your life. Those thoughts speak to the kind of character that they have, whether or not they have a good name or a bad name in your eyes. As you go through life, if you have a good name, that reputation will open many doors for you, opportunities for you with a great many people and employers, people who will be looking at hiring you. If you have a bad name, it will close many opportunities for you. And in many, many cases, you will never even know why certain people and employers did not choose you or did not even decide to interview you in the first place because they already heard about you. They've already heard about your bad name and they want nothing to do with you. The kind of name you have can open doors wide or it can close them tighter than tight. Because of your good name or bad name, your reputation, many people and employers who have not even met you may have already made the decision, their decision about you based upon your reputation before they have even met you. If you have a good reputation or name, it is the most, listen carefully because this is absolute truth. If you have a good reputation or name, it is the most valuable thing you will ever possess in your entire life. And it can be easily tarnished. If you already have a good reputation, it is very likely that you already know the importance of not damaging that reputation. If you have a bad reputation or a name, you can change it to a good reputation by the way you do things and treat people in the future. But know that it is very hard to change the minds of many, many people who already know the kind of person that you hopefully were, not trying to become, but who you were. Changing a poor reputation to a good one takes lots of time and lots of patience. Why is this true? It will take time for the people to actually believe that they can believe the changes that they're seeing occurring with you and as just not some kind of a temporary front that you're putting on. So once you develop a bad reputation, it takes time and patience and fortitude and to be able to turn that reputation back around. Too many people, especially young people, are way too careless about the kind of person that they are becoming. They have no idea what that reputation, that bad name that they are creating for themselves, is going to cost them for many years in the future. I grew up with a person that I'm going to talk with you about today. I do not remember when I first met him, but it was well before we were in kindergarten. We grew up in the same town together, we're the same age, we played together as little kids, and all through elementary school especially. Basically, I remember this young lad as a very happy person. And he was always kind-hearted. Even as a young child, I remember him as someone that you could depend upon. If he said he was going to do something or not do something, you could take it to the bank. He would help anyone if he could, and that's the truth. I never remember hearing him, and I spent a lot of time with this young lad from pre-kindergarten up till we graduated from high school. I never remember this young lad saying a bad word about anybody. Nobody, ever. This lad's father was a farmer, and he was a teacher in the local high school. Although he liked to have good fun, and he was lots of fun to be with, I remember that even as a young child, he was expected to work very hard, even as in early elementary school. Very hard and very long hours every single day on the large family farm. I can remember, I lived in town, and all the kids, we used to get together, go down to the river and swim, play ball, go ice skating, do all these things together after school and on weekends. And I can remember doing these things. But this lad was very lucky when he was able to join us, because most of the time he had work to do on that big family farm. He never did strike me as being unusually smart. However, he was a very hard worker, and as a result, he graduated from high school in the top 10 of our class academically, at the very top of the class academically. He went on to Michigan State University and did well there too. He has since raised a fine family of his own. Remember, he's 72 now, just like me. He didn't look like that picture anymore. And he has been very successful, and he has a very, very large farming operation in the little Upper Peninsula town in which I grew up. So, after all this, what is it? What is it that makes this lad so unusual? Can you think about people similar to what I just described? What makes this lad all that unusual? Over the years, I have thought back to my many years of being with this young lad, and the fine attributes and the strong, sterling character that this young person displayed throughout all the time I knew him. However, it was when the Columbine High School student massacre occurred in the United States, in the state of Georgia in 1999, that I could not help but look back at how this young lad had behaved. At the Columbine High School, two students felt justified in killing other students and teachers because of the way they were treated by some of them. You see, even back then, in a small Upper Peninsula town in the 1950s, children could be very vicious and very cruel. Even then, and I know that that's true even today. This youngster's parents had a large farming operation, as I told you. There were cows, there were lots of pigs, chickens, and the like. Beginning in early elementary school through high school, this lad went through continuing periods of being picked on by other students. He was periodically the subject of mean-spirited ridicule by other students. This probably started in second or third grade from my memory, but it could have even started before then. I won't go into the details of what he experienced specifically. However, when the Columbine High School shooting incident occurred, one of my very first reactions was this. If there ever was a student who was justified in seeking vengeance on fellow students, there were certainly times when this young lad would have been justified in my mind. Certainly, there were other young people in the school, who were made fun of also. So what makes this lad so very special? What makes him special is the way that he dealt with it, even as a young child. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 44. I cannot remember this young boy ever criticizing anyone, ever trying to get even with anyone, ever trying to take advantage, unfair advantage, of anyone. He never showed anything but kindness, compassion, patience, bravery, and sincere humility, even to those who caused him the most problems. Our God talks about this kind of behavior in Matthew 5, verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you. I don't think there's a person in this room that won't agree when I say, incredibly easy to say these words, almost impossible to do. To behave that way toward somebody who is specifically mean-spirited and just plain mean to you. Now, I cannot tell you if my friend David prayed for those things, you know, for those people that did these things to him, because I don't know whether he prayed for them or not. But I can tell you that he definitely suffered from this kind of persecution and behavior. I have already described to you his outward reaction, or lack of it, to the incredible mean-spirited behavior that he sometimes experienced. Over the years, I cannot remember any student or teacher or ever intervening on his behalf until his senior year of high school. Although he was not even close to being a gifted athlete, he went out for the high school football team in his senior year. When some of the other football players learned that he would be playing on the team, they thought it was a joke. And their reaction was, we're really going to punish him out there on the practice field. He's going to wish that he never put that uniform on. He isn't going to last long. And those are words I heard from some of the other players' mouths myself. David was about my size. Now, he was a big, strong farmer. I shouldn't say big. He wasn't big, but he was a strong farmer because he had worked physically very hard since he was a little kid. But he wasn't big enough or athletically talented enough to really punish anyone back. But he never quit either. He continued to show up for every single practice. He continued to block anyone across from him as hard as he could, no matter how big they were, even if it literally meant that they ran right over the top of him in the process, which did happen on numerous occasions. One thing, got to remember, he's a strong farmer kid. He tackled the ball carrier every chance he got. If they made the mistake of getting close to him and he could get a hand on him, there was no way he was going to let go. One thing the ball carriers found out is that if David was able to grab a hold of you, there was no way he was going to let go, even if they were big enough to stay standing and drag them down the field with them to the goal line, which happened on occasion. But, I mean, there was no way that lad was letting go of you. After a few weeks of some pretty brutal treatment, the other players could see that this young lad would never give in or never give up, no matter what they did to him. Finally, a growing number of players began to protect him both physically and by the things that they said verbally. This young, not very athletically talented lad, played every single football game of that season. By now, he was fully accepted and highly respected by every member of the team, by all of the other students in the school, and by the teachers also. People found out that although he was not a great player, he could not be stopped, no matter what, and that he was not visibly vulnerable to anything that anyone could do to him, either physically, mentally, or morally, no matter what they did to him. After being picked on as a child for at least 10 years, so far as I know, no member of that community ever physically or verbally abused him ever again. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy wrote to the Church of the Thessalonians. In that letter, it seems to me that they paid these people the highest possible compliment that one Christian could pay to another. They said this, breaking into the middle of the first sentence, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, "You became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe in God, all of the church people. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your reputation has gone far and wide by what you have done here and the kind of people you have become here. Your faith towards God has so gone out by your example that we do not need to say anything." Anything Paul said that we may say would detract from what you've already done. There are not words strong enough to add anything to the example that you have done by the way you have conducted yourself. "Even after my 44 years as a member of God's church, I still continue to be humbled and very much inspired by the godly kindness, patience, determination, and character of this young boy that he consistently displayed, beginning even as far back as early elementary school. I do know that he very much believed in God back then. The Apostle Paul's words that we have just read certainly apply to this young lad. Who he was and what he was spoke far, far louder than anything that anyone could possibly say about him." And that finally came home big time to the whole community. Titus 2 verse 6, very important scripture for this message. Titus 2 verse 6, please do turn there. Titus 2 verse 6. Titus 2 verse 6, "Likewise, exhort," in other words, young people, "encourage the young men and young children to be sober-minded," to be serious-minded. Even as a young person, you should be serious-minded in all things, "showing yourself to be a pattern or a continuing example to others." Showing yourself to be a continuing example to others. "Of good works and doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned." What this lad did up there could not, finally came to the point where it could not be condemned. "That one who is an opponent, that one who is an enemy of yours, may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you." Which was the case with David. Picking on David, it reached the point where people knew the kind of character that little lad had. And saying something in that community, people would know how bad you really were by trying to run that lad down after everything that he had done to prove the kind of a person that he was by his behavior and his character. 1 Peter 2, verse 15. 1 Peter 2, verse 15. First Peter 2, verse 15. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men or foolish children." Skipping to the middle of verse 20. "But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before our God." And it can reach the point of being commendable with your fellow church members as well. It sure seems to me that this scripture could have been written with this young lad in mind. There's a local newspaper in this little Upper Peninsula Michigan town. It's called the Menominee County Journal, and it's been there since the 1800s, a long time. The following human interest article was sent to the editor of that newspaper a few years ago. And it was long, long, long overdue. Title of the article, "I Tip My Hat to a Real Man's Man." I graduated from Stevenson High School in 1961. I have received the Menominee County Journal almost continuously ever since. Over the years, I've read many articles recalling the past glory days of many graduates of Stevenson, most of whom were standouts in one athletic sport or another. I have really enjoyed reading most of the articles, basically because I knew most of the people being written about. And for the most part, the claims made about the subject people were accurate, from my recollections too. Fond memories, good memories. Most that know me would agree that this old retiree has lived a pretty long time now, except for my mother. She's 92. She still thinks I'm a young buck. I've come to admire over the many years, I've come to admire and respect certain people a great deal because of who they really were inside, as well as because of the things that they did or did not do. I too respected a certain classmate a great deal when I was in school. Over the years, I have gained a certain perspective that comes with age. I keep coming back to this certain classmate as a real standout, one who was heads above anyone else I've ever met in my entire life. Regarding unshakable character, self-control, true bravery, and sincere humility, in my mind, that's saying a mouthful. Although I knew this lad well throughout my school years, I have not seen this young lad since the day we graduated from high school, and that's still true today. My vivid mental picture of this person, and remember this, young people, you people who are still in school, you've heard from me today, my vivid mental picture of this person is based solely on his display of unshakable character, determination, and courage as a very young person your age. As an elementary, junior high school, and high school student, these were the years I spent with this young lad. This student was well known by all. He participated in a number of extracurricular activities. He played football and was an outstanding student who finished in the top 10 of his class academically upon graduation. Although he was not a big person, he did not possess the outstanding athletic skills. However, he was never known to avoid a rough, tough play on the football field or on the playing field of life either. And you know exactly what I'm talking about in that sentence. Although he was a fun-loving person as well as a genuinely fun person to be with, no unsavory controversy, no unsavory rumors about this young lad ever, ever were said at any time. I mean, he was never thought of as running with a drug crowd or a drinking crowd or breaking in the stores or doing bad things, ordering pizza for the science teachers, you know, to be delivered to the science teacher's house or some of these other foolish things that kids do. He never, ever was associated with anything like that. Although there were times when some were not very kind to him, he never criticized or took advantage or even tried to get even with those who caused him the most grief and sadness. Kids could be very cruel, even back in those years. When the Columbine school shooting occurred a few years ago, I thought to myself, if any student had ever had justification at certain times to strike back at fellow students, it was certainly this lad. But he never did. He never showed less than consideration, kindness, and compassion, even for those who caused him the most difficulty. This young person showed patience, kindness, compassion, bravery, and sincere humility far, far beyond his years. After 46 years, now remember this was written a few years ago. I said 54 years before because this was written before, you know, a few years ago. After over 46 years, he is still my vote as a real man's man. He fully earned that distinction even as a very young child. For you young folks, I'm speaking to you here now, for you young folks who are still in school, know that what you do, who you really are, and the example that you set really does indeed matter and can make a tremendous difference. After all of these years, David Granskog has sure been a lifelong example to me after 54 years. Young people, life is a mixture of choices along with incentives and temptations to make one choice or another choice. The kind of choices that you make, the kind of person that you decide to be, will definitely determine the amount of real success, true happiness, and peace of mind that you will have, not only in this physical life, but for all eternity.